the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Morning Podcast. So let's bring in Brian Costello, Jets beat reporter for the New York Post, works for WFAN. Nobody's as tied in to the Jets and their current dysfunction as Brian Costello. Hopefully it's headed eventually in the right direction. I know and I like Joe Douglas, the GM. Let's hope so. Brian, let me start with this. So Adam Gase, I thought he was going to work. He holds a press conference. It is beyond weird. His eyes are going everywhere. It got mocked by everybody. And, you know, I relied on the Manning family. I relied on things I'd heard. The people I knew thought he was really bright. They said he was basically Kyle Shanahan. Had the potential to rub people the wrong way, but he was really, really a thoughtful guy, smart guy. When did you think, shit, this isn't working? It's just not working.
He just never really had a chance, Colin. And I agree with some of the stuff you just said. And getting to know Adam like I did over the last 2 years, I thought more of Adam than a lot of people. He was a smart guy. He is a smart guy. He's a thoughtful guy. He's meticulous in his preparation. He was very good at explaining everything he did and why things worked and didn't work. But I'll tell you, the fans just wanted no part of him. And it just became toxic, really, here, almost from the start. You know, first off, they viewed him as a Dolphins reject, right? So it was like, oh boy, here we go. We're hiring a Dolphins retread. He did nothing with the Dolphins, which wasn't fair. He had success with the Dolphins early on, but they didn't do that. Then the press conference happens, okay? He becomes a meme. He becomes a joke on the internet. Then he has this power struggle with Mike Maccagnan and wins it, and he's viewed as this power-hungry guy, when in actuality, Mike Maccagnan should have been fired. If you look at his draft, that's why the Jets are where they are, because Mike Maccagnan's draft. So it just became toxic, Colin. And I thought he could pull out of it when they went 7-9, when they went 6-2 in the last 8 games. I thought he pulled out of it. But then this year, like, the schedule was brutal. They didn't improve enough. They didn't give him enough weapons, I thought, to work with. Everyone talks about weapons with Sam Darnold. I know we're going to talk about him. No one talks about that with Adam Gase. Adam Gase had no weapons to work with here. I think that was part of it. And, you know, once they were 0-10, 0-11, you knew it was over.
Listen, Darnold worked with 56 different offensive teammates, none of them a Pro Bowler, none of them. I mean, compare that to Baker Mayfield, who has the number one graded offensive line on Pro Football Focus, two great backs, Jarvis Landry, OBJ. Compare that to almost any quarterback. Obviously, Sam didn't have a ton to work with. With your sourcing, though, did you hear things from the Gase side? Were there frustrations with Darnold? Because I heard one out of college. He was undercoached at USC, which has been in sort of this malaise for years, that he wasn't great on the whiteboard in the draft rooms initially. That's why Baker got drafted, that he'd just been undercoached, and Baker had Lincoln Riley, who's brilliant. When did you start, because people talk and chirp, and Gase wants to protect his legacy and his job, when did you start hearing some maybe misgivings or doubts about Darnold?
A little bit in Gase's first year, I thought, the ghost game was kind of a pivotal moment. Everyone remembers that game, right? The week before, Sam had come back from mono. They beat the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And Sam throws a 90-yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson, and they stun the Cowboys, right? This is Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. So everything is riding high, and then they have Monday night against New England, and he can't do anything. He looked lost out there. And he says he gets caught on camera, I'm seeing ghosts. And I thought that kind of explained it. Someone said this to me a while ago, and I think it's right. Sam is more Brett Favre than he is Peyton Manning. He's not a guy who's going to be reading the defense and picking everything apart. He can run around and make plays. You know, he's not far. He doesn't have Favre's skill level. He doesn't have Favre's arm, but that's what he's good at. He's good at just running around and making things happen. Schoolyard ball. He's not good in like read one to read two, read three to read four. He's not good at that. And so that's what you know, the Jets thought bringing in the Shanahan system with Mike LaFleur, that might help Sam if they kept him. And we'll see if Joe Brady can do that with him. You know, I just like in Gase's system is complicated. It's the Peyton Manning system from Denver. So, and Adam did not want to dumb it down that much, so to speak. So I think it just wasn't a good mix there.
You know, I've heard the same things. That's exactly what I've heard, is that Sam is best being intuitive and just making plays. Yeah. And by the way, that was so popular in the 70s, 80s, 90s. It's less popular now. The Big Ben, the kind of remedial audible system, make it up as you go, it just doesn't play. It's more of an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, you know, own the line of scrimmage pre-snap, Drew Brees league. You know, Brian, you've talked about this in your stories with the Post, and I'm sure you have in the Fan, that it wasn't a given maybe 6 weeks ago to move off Darnold, that Saleh liked him.
Yeah.
What I mean, did it come down to essentially Zach Wilson gives us four straight years of a rookie contract?
I think that was a big part of it. You know, I think it was just the timing was off with Sam, Colin, because I was like, I've said to people, there's a lot of people who said, oh, they should have kept Sam. There's a lot of Jets fans. Trade the number two pick, get a million picks and build around him. So I'm like, all right, let's play this out. What's the best case scenario for the 2021 Jets, right? They still have holes. Who are their starting cornerbacks? You probably don't know who their starting cornerbacks are, right? Right now it's Bryce Hall and Bless Austin. They got to do work. They don't have a running back. You know, they signed Tevin Coleman. He's not a lead running back. They still have questions at receiver. So play this out. Let's say they keep Sam and he has, you know, a decent year, 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and the Jets win 6 or 7 games. Because that's about the ceiling for this team right now. Then what do you do, Colin? Do you give him a contract extension off that year? Like, I don't know. I wouldn't pay someone off of that year. I haven't seen enough. So that's, to me, in Joe Douglas's mind, it's like, you know, it's just not enough time to evaluate him in a year. He's not going to show you enough where you're going to give him this long contract extension. You can start over with Zach Wilson and start over with a rookie contract. And I think they really liked Wilson. They fell in love with him watching the film. And then they finally got to see him on that pro day. And he basically answered all the questions on that pro day, reaffirmed what they saw on tape. And that's when they said, all right, Carolina, let's go. Let's talk.
McCagnan, I thought, was lost. I really did. There were moves he made where my sources, I had two general managers in the NFL, his final draft with the Jets, literally say they thought it was one of the worst drafts they'd ever seen a GM have. Joe Douglas, I thought, pretty promising. My guys liked him. I've met Joe. I thought he had a pretty clever draft. By the way, Bryce Hall, that corner, started 7 games last year. He was a great college player. Then I think he broke his leg.
He got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, broke his ankle. Yeah, yeah, bad injury.
Yeah, he may end up being a real fine for the Jets. They also got a safety out of Cal, Davis.
Ashton Davis, yeah.
And he can really run. Incredible range. So, you know, they had to pick a backup quarterback, a punter. But overall, I thought it was a smart draft. I think Zach Wilson's greatest gift is a competent GM. But I don't know about Robert Saleh. And I said this, Brian, this week on the show. He's not going to be Belichick. You're the luckiest team in the world if he's Sean McDermott. And Brian Flores just won 10 games with Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's likely, even if he's not a disaster, he's the fourth best coach in his division. Am I hyperbolic there? Does that feel right?
No. I think you're fair. I think you're being fair. And I think there's a lot of faith in Robert Saleh from this fan base because he's not Adam Gase. You know, they hate Adam Gase so much. They wanted anybody. And, you know, and Saleh has, you know, he runs the steps before the game, got the bald head. He jumps around on the sideline, a lot of energy. I understand why fans like him and are enthused by him. But you don't know. You never know with these guys when they go from assistant coach to head coach. You never know how it's going to work out. Like, you know, Todd Bowles, I covered here. Todd Bowles was the assistant coach of the year in Arizona. Comes to the Jets, wins 10 games his first year. Then things fell apart. And now Todd Bowles wins the Super Bowl, you know? So you just don't know how it's going to work out with these guys. There's so many different factors that go into it. But, yeah, the division is daunting right now. I mean, because Buffalo looks like they're going to be good for a long, long time.
Long time.
Miami's going to go as Tua goes right now. We'll see how he is. And then, you know, Belichick just spent $120 million or whatever it was, or more than that. I think it was more than $150 million. You know, so he's going for it. He's clearly motivated. So, yeah, it's definitely a big uphill climb right now for the Jets.
Brian, you know, it's funny. In Los Angeles right now, all our teams are winning. I mean, USC is underachieving, and they're going to good bowl games. The Lakers won a title. The Dodgers won a title. LAFC is good. The Clippers are good. You know, Angels are Orange County, but in LA County, the Rams are good. The Chargers, I think, will have a bounce back here. They got a really good front office. In New York now, outside of Brooklyn, it's a little bit of a mess. The Yankees are promising, and, you know, there's a lot of finger crossing with the Mets. How much, because the Mara family was always respected, very blue blood.
Yep.
And everybody has a right to butcher a coaching hire. McAdoo didn't work. I get it. Pat Shurmur. I mean, listen, Robert Kraft hired Pete Carroll. It doesn't always work, right? With the Jets, I always have this feeling, the malaise, it's not Knicks level. But there is something about the Jets ownership group that's not right to me. And I'm an outsider. You're an insider. My instincts are it either meddles too much, it's disconnected, it's cheap. What is it? Because it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, at times it was meddling. It hasn't been in a while. But, you know, go back to 2008 when they had Eric Mangini here. They go to him. Eric Mangini did not want Brett Favre. Eric Mangini preached team, team, team. And he said to ownership, he said, if you bring this guy in, you know, it's the old 52+1 sort of deal. Like, Brett Favre is going to be bigger than the team, right? And so they said, all right, but we're going to do this. You're safe. No matter what happens, you don't lose your job. They fired him at the end of the year. They wanted Tim Tebow. They brought Tim Tebow here. So they meddled in some way in that. They haven't in a while been meddling. They listen to the wrong people sometimes, Colin. That's been the biggest thing. I don't think they have this arrogance about them that they know more than they think they know more than they do, but they listen to the wrong people. They listened to Charlie Casserly in 2015. You know, when it became clear Casserly was going to do that search for them, I talked to someone in the league and I said, you know, who's he going to hire? And they said, Mike Maccagnan. And I said, who? And they're like, that's his right-hand man. And I had never heard of Maccagnan before. And so a lot of people hadn't, but they casually hired his friends. You know, he hired his friends. So they listened to the wrong guy there. They listened to Jed Hughes back when they hired John Idzik as GM. They've listened to the wrong people at different times. Now they're listening to Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas is now the voice. He's the one making the decisions. He hired Robert Saleh. He's making this quarterback decision. We'll see. I think, you know, I trust Joe Douglas more than some of these other guys. I've talked to Joe a lot. He's got a plan. He's smart. But, you know, that's part. Ownership has just listened to the wrong people a lot of times.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under. And it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel's the exclusive home for over-under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/over/under and sign up now if you have not done so already. You create a new FanDuel account if you don't already have one. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/over/under. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and location restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. Listen, they solved some of their wide receiver issues with Corey Davis. I would not have spent that kind of money on Corey Davis. I think he's the classic high ceiling, never realizes it. I also wouldn't have spent money like the Giants did on Adoree Jackson. Kenny Galladay I sort of got, but Kenny's never really been a one in a great system, so there's questions there. And free agency should augment, not solve major issues. Unfortunately, when you have a former awful GM, you have to like solve problems. Yeah. But I do think they're at least capable with Mims, Corey Davis, Jamison Crowder. They're capable. Their tight ends never feel like they're healthy. My guess is they get Zach Wilson at 2. You know, you could go with the running back from Clemson. It's a very rich offensive line draft. Do you sense them trading up? Do you sense them? What is their second pick and third pick? In your opinion, where do they go?
I think they're in a good spot, Colin. They're at 23. That's the pick from the Seahawks. And then they have 34, which is the second pick in the first, in the second pick in the second round. Those are spots that people like to trade into, right? We always see it. Like 23 starts to be where, like, you know, there's guys there that people might want to move up for. And I can see them trading back from there. And they have so many needs. They have all the ones you mentioned, plus corner. They need linebackers because they're going to 4-3 and they haven't played 4-3 in years. They need linebackers, guards, you know, you mentioned receiver, running back. So there's so many holes. They can move back some spots and still fill one of those holes. Same thing with 34. How often do we see, Colin, the Friday of the draft? All day they talk about, you know, you're going to see all the NFL insiders. Teams are trying to move up. Teams are trying to get up in the second round. The Jets have the second pick in the second round. They can move back if they want to there. So I think Douglas might acquire more picks. He's got 10. He could end up with more. And then I think he's going to maneuver around and move up when he, you know, when he can strike. I feel like he thinks he has ammunition to move around. To me, cornerback is the biggest need on this team right now after quarterback. Because I agree with you on Bryce Hall. He showed some promising things. Yeah. But he's 1 year in, seven games. Bless Austin's played 2 years. You know, they got a defensive head coach right now. He's going to want to put in a system. They got to give him a cornerback. So I'm thinking there might be, you know, the kid from Northwestern, Newsom, might be there. Asante Samuel Jr. might be in that second round area. So, you know, I'm thinking cornerback right now, but they could go in a number of different directions. The USC guard, if he fell down to 23, he might go higher than that. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with him from out there.
Why, you know, Wyatt Davis
Ohio is like, State.
Yeah, he's probably the second or third best interior lineman. He would be available, I think, at 34. I can see them going like Samuel late first, Wyatt Davis, and then they have 2/3, right?
Yes, they have 2/3. They have Seattle's. And so I think running back is probably third round. I'd be surprised if Joe Douglas took a running back in the first round. I think he thinks, you know, like a lot of guys now, you can find them. So, you know, if he grabs one in the third round, that wouldn't shock me.
It's so funny covering. I was in New England for about 10, 11 years. I always felt Boston media loved everybody initially and hated everybody by the end. And it was just part of their insecurity that if you ever left them, they turned on you. New York is a more secure, powerful, better tradition. New York's different. New York's tough on everybody initially. But once you win them over, they got Joe Torre's back for life and Parcells back for life. They won't screw you out the door because you made it in New York and you're part of the family. Right now with the Jets, if I said to you, most popular Jet, who at the top right now is safe? Is it Joe Douglas?
Yes. Yeah. From that perspective, I think Joe Douglas is still very popular. Look, he's only had one draft. You know, he drafted Mekhi Becton, who's another guy who's very popular right now. And that looks like a good pick. And I think, like you said, some of those other picks are going to work out. So, Douglas, I think, would be popular. Salah can do no wrong right now. He hasn't lost a game yet. So we'll see how it goes. But Salah's, again, I think he's very popular right now. And in terms of players, it's really Becton and Quinnen Williams is popular. I'm sure Zach Wilson's going to be very popular here in a few weeks.
People always say, oh, the New York media is so tough. And what I found as a West Coast guy is that it's tough on bad teams. It was tough on the Mets. It was tough on the Jets. But it was actually pretty favorable to the Giants and Yankees. If you win, you get pretty soft coverage. If you lose, it's rough. And the front offices, you know, of the bad teams, they hear about, you know, your talk radio, your columnists, and they get very reactionary. I remember the Mets once signing, I think it was Jason Bay in Citi Field, a very spacious outfield, and it was just a horrific. I mean, I'm not a guy that's a diehard baseball guy. I remember thinking, this is an incredibly spacious outfield. He's like a lumberjack. This is a horrible acquisition. But the New York media was crushing the Mets to do something because, if I recall, the Yankees had gone out and spent some money. Overall, how are the Jets viewed and treated in your eyes by the city's media?
I think rough. I think it's been rough because they've lost for the last 10 years. You know, they haven't made the playoffs now since 2010, and they've had a lot of, we call it jetsy type stories. Geno Smith gets punched in the face. Sam Darnold gets mononucleosis. They bring in Tebow and, you know, they don't use him. You know, there's just a lot of crazy stories, Colin. I mean, the Gase press conference, there's just, there was a plane flying over practice that said fire John Idzik. So yeah, there's a lot, you know, there's been a lot. So yeah, I don't think it's been unfair. I think they get criticized, and you know, the thing about New York media, and I like asking guys who've been in other markets, and there's just more of us. It's just a little bit louder here than other places because there's more of us, and the back page is sort of a different animal. You don't have that in every town. You know, the back page can be rough on guys. Page six doesn't exist everywhere. Like, I'm the Jets beat writer, right, Colin? You know how many conversations I've had to have with quarterbacks about them appearing on page six and explain to them, yes, that's the New York Post, but that's not me. Mark Sanchez, we had a picture of him on the front page eating breakfast with Eva Longoria. That doesn't happen in Green Bay, Colin, right? And so, like, I had to go face Mark the next day and be like, sorry. You know, and, you know, Sam Darnold rented a limousine and had a big party after one game, and it was in page six. And I said, Sam, sorry, you know? So that kind of stuff doesn't happen everywhere. But I think Chicago, South Florida, I think there's, you know, there's markets where they people get covered just as tough as here, but it's just a lot more here.
All right. I see you have your San Diego hoodie on.
Yeah.
Great town. You went there apparently.
Yes. I went on vacation a couple of years ago with my family to Southern California. We went to San Diego, and I missed the Chargers being there. Obviously I Jets trips to San Diego. Some memorable trips. Great town.
By the way, Sanchez, San Diego, I remember that playoff game well, as I'm sure you do.
Yes, yeah. I do. Yep. Feels like a long time ago, Colin.
It does.
Those things are long gone now.
Brian, great. I appreciate you stopping by on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Colin.
You bet, Brian. Fun. Thank you so much. From this point forward, we're going to do something on Fridays called Fake Questions, Real Answers. Because I was thinking of doing a mailbag section on this podcast. But then I realized I'd have to rely on everybody out there to send me questions that I actually gave a shit about. And the truth is, mostly I don't. So I thought, why don't I just write the questions myself? So that leads me to a new segment. It's called Fake Questions and Real Answers. Dear Colin, first letter. Are you aware that Baker Mayfield won 11-5 last year with the Browns and won a playoff game? When are you going to admit you're totally wrong about him? Signed, Baker M. from Cleveland. Thanks, Baker. I'm actually totally right about him. Baker Mayfield, with the number one rated offensive line according to PFF, the number one rated running back tandem, the top tight end tandem, and Jarvis Landry and OBJ, had a passer rating that was 15th and 18th in passing yards. Justin Herbert, in his first year with the lowest-rated offensive line and a coach that got fired, was 6th in passing yards and 10th in passer rating. Translation, 1 is a top 10 pick. 1 is being protected and elevated because he's on a rookie salary deal. Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl on a rookie salary deal. Mahomes got to 2. Baker is Case Keenum with a better arm. He's got a very competent coach. The best offensive line in football, the best running back tandem, he won a playoff game. That's the minimum you have to do on a rookie deal. There's a reason that Cleveland appears to be using a different bank because they're not paying their quarterback anything. I got nothing against Baker. I just think he's mostly average. What happens when you pay him and his offensive line is 13th and he only has one decent running back? It's not a playoff team. Next letter, dear Colin. Why don't you talk more hockey? It's not only one of the big four sports. Everybody I know talks about it constantly. Signed, Pierre from the middle of Saskatchewan. First of all, it's not a big four sport. NFL is one. Baseball or college football are 2 or 3. NBA, 4. The NFL draft, 5. UFC/boxing, 6. Tiger winning a major, 7. It's nothing against hockey. I watch playoff hockey. But what I watch appeals to me. What I put on my show has to appeal to you. Hockey, none of us, almost none of us played it as kids. And if you didn't play it as kids, you don't know the rules. And unless you're north of Buffalo, people in the States have too many options. Just think about this. In Canada, they don't even have our college system. Listen to TSN or watch it. 90% of the discussions on their sports radio are hockey. People think I talk a lot of LeBron. Last year, he was 6% of my show. 68% was NFL. 12% was college football. There were fights. There was the draft. There's baseball playoffs. We have so many things to talk about that hockey simply gets squeezed out. Thank you, Pierre. Next letter, dear Colin. Why don't you respond to your critics on Twitter? Signed, CowherdHater3694832. No followers, by the way. I have a theory on this. You can't monetize playing defense. I can build companies. I can make money playing offense. Ben Wallace played defense. Steph Curry plays offense. Same in the NBA. You're not paying money for your best defensive players. Steph Curry does not lose sleep missing 11 shots on a Tuesday night. What he does is work on hitting 13 more on Thursday. I'm in a creative business. I can't waste a second defending myself. My job is to talk and give you content. Facebook, Twitter, FS1, The Volume, iHeart, Sunday on Fox. There's no value in playing defense. You get into arguments with people who don't have your back. Dear Colin, you are so woke. Don't you think the NBA went too far with Black Lives Matter, and that's the reason the ratings are way down? Signed, T-Bone from Kentucky. Yes, conservatives all think that. I don't doubt that aggressively pushing Black Lives Matter, which to many is viewed as politics, did hurt the ratings. But let me ask you, why were the hockey ratings worse than the NBA's? Maybe BLM wasn't the only reason. First of all, any sport with all their games on cable, NBA, NHL, 99% of their games on cable, cord cutting, cable's dying. They're going down. But I think there's a variety of reasons. Let's not be simplistic here. When there's problems at Amazon or problems at Apple or Google, it's not one employee or one reason. If your marriage is struggling, it's not just because you had an argument. There's resentment. There's problems. There's a lot of NBA issues. The league's now exclusively on cable. Secondarily, the bottom of the NBA is now so bad. And with players over the last 5 years, stars, joining forces, the top five or six teams, Brooklyn Lakers, those teams can beat the bottom seven, eight, nine teams without LeBron and AD playing. The bottom of the NBA is so god-awful that the top stars don't need to play in the regular season. The Brooklyn Nets went 19-4 without KD. What does that mean? KD, AD, LeBron, Kyrie, Harden. Why play every regular season game? Just rest for the playoffs. That's where the money's made and the legacies are formed. Why would you rush back if you're KD? And if you don't care and have urgency for the regular season as an NBA star, why would I as a consumer? In the NFL, the gap between the best and worst teams is slim. I mean, hell, the Jags beat the Colts. The Raiders beat the Chiefs. The Jets beat the Rams. You have to play. You have to play hurt. But in the NBA, you don't. And your legacy, since Michael Jordan went 6-for-6 in the finals, are formed by how you perform in the playoffs. Why would James Harden play every game? He looks gassed in the playoffs. So my hamstring hurts. And just the time KD comes back, he takes a 3-week break, resting for the postseason. I think that's as big a reason as any. The NBA ratings are down. All right, everybody. Fake questions, real answers on a Friday, plus Brian Costello. Good stuff on Sam Darnold. I love that story about he's more Brett Favre than he is Peyton Manning. That's interesting. I like the way he articulated that. All right, you want to follow us at The Volume Sports on Twitter and Instagram. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go bathe in a big bottle of Cristal. Enjoy the podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Volume.